Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker, Ray, and also Steve Jordahl now joined us from One News Now.
He does.
And American Family Radio News. Yeah. Good morning to you, brother.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good morning. It's a little cold coming over here.
Really?
We had those tornadoes yesterday. It was warm and windy and stormy, and then it was replaced by, like, winter.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens in late December.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, ask Steve the question about, does he know about that movie or whatever it was?
Okay, Steve. Well, I was watching it. I'm watching it while I was talking to him. But did you know about the Island of the Misfit Toys?
So I will have to be very honest and say that I was listening in on conversation you guys had earlier.
Right, right.
I was aware. I did know about the Island of Misfit Toys, but I probably couldn't have told you much about it, except that it's a Christmas thing where Santa, the toys that don't quite make the cut end up.
Yes, right.
That was good. I knew
that much.
That was good. Can you name me one of the toys that are misfits?
Oh.
This is for...
extra credit.
When
you're through, or even in a minute, I'll go get you your own bag of popcorn from our freshly popcorn out there.
I'm going to have to say anything with the Kansas City Chiefs logo.
Is it misfit?
Yeah.
You're trying to insult Ray?
Oh, me? No.
Yeah. You don't know, right? You don't have one.
Charlie. There's somebody named Charlie.
Charlie in the Box.
Oh. Charlie. Really?
Yeah, it's a Charlie in the Box. He springs out. That's why he's a misfit, because he's supposed to be Jack.
Jack, yeah. No, I would not have.
Okay.
Guessed
all
that.
Right. So check. So, but you had
but he
heard
at least
of
knew.
It.
I had heard of
Walker
it.
Walker
yes.
And I had no idea.
Yeah, Walker. Ray missed it because he was too old, and Walker missed it because he
was
too young.
Yeah, we're right in the middle there, aren't we?
So yeah. All right, Steve. Start us out with some good news, Steve. What do you got?
Okay. Well, let's just tell you what's going on right now in Washington, and we don't have to spend time on this because it's
I said good news, Steve. Is this going to be good news?
No.
Just leading us off. You can come back to all that bad stuff.
Okay, here's the good news.
Okay.
The opinion about impeachment has shifted, and now more Americans say, according to Real Clear Politics, that they would not favor impeachment. They don't think that President Trump should be impeached, much less kicked out of office, than feel the opposite.
So would you say this has backfired on the Democrats?
Nancy Pelosi is underwater on this, yes.
But she started out. She started out water skiing.
That's right. That's right. But she got out over her
skis.
She's
falling and she can't get up. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
all right. So not good news for the Democrats. So the Democrats. Do you think the Democrats hope this? They too, like the Republicans, want to get this over as quickly as possible, so we can get back to business as usual?
Yeah, there's only one way out for them. They're way too far down to, like, stop in the middle and say, okay, we're going to censure or whatever. They have to go through with this now. They've sent the articles, and it's going to happen. But, yeah, they're going to suffer for it. But, yeah, they don't want to drag this out.
It's going to be killed in the Senate.
It will be.
So.
It will be.
All right. So what'd they do it for?
Why did they impeach Donald Trump?
Yeah.
They looked for something. They started the impeachment process back right before he got elected. As soon as he was elected, they started looking for impeaching things. They couldn't find it in Russia. They couldn't find it in collusion, or they couldn't find it in any of these different things. And they went looking for a phone call. And they couldn't find it in a phone call with Ukraine, but that didn't stop them. Mm-hmm. They went and made something up and impeached him anyway because they hate him.
Yeah, and the some of the members of the party have been calling for impeachment before he was even sworn in, as you noted. So it wasn't really about did he do anything wrong. It was more so we just need to impeach him because we don't like him.
I want to tell you maybe another reason why they're pushing for impeachment. And this is coming out now Because Rudy Giuliani has come back from a fact-finding tour in Ukraine. He was on with Laura Ingraham last night, and I got to tell you, he's coming back with some claims that he says he can prove and will prove at some point that are pretty astounding. And if they're true, the Democrats will do anything to cover up what has been going on there, and therefore they are trying to discredit Giuliani and the president who's insisting that these things be investigated. Let's start with cut two.
What I uncovered there are two major schemes, one for $7.5 billion, the other for $5 billion, in money laundering that went on all through the Obama administration. Part of it involved Joe Biden, the bribery part. It's a disgrace that he's not under investigation for it in America, maybe because our law enforcement is too afraid. But the reality is, it's a complete defense for the president. When the president of the United States was asking the president of Ukraine to investigate, he was asking him to investigate crimes at the highest levels of both governments.
So what Rudy Giuliani's laying out is he says there was money laundering. This is like criminal money laundering of billions of dollars that Joe Biden was involved in with some sort of bribery. That's what he is claiming.
It's a pretty serious accusation.
It's a very serious accusation.
Yeah.
Has Giuliani released any evidence yet?
As of now, I haven't seen anything. He says he has it, and it will come forward when it's appropriate. He's making another claim. So he went over, and he says he was primarily involved in the firing of the Ambassador Yovanovitch, who was the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine at one point. She testified, you may remember, in the impeachment hearing in the Senate Intelligence Committee. Is one of those people who had no direct evidence of a call or didn't hear it, but yet kind of was put up there to put third, fourth-hand testimony. Giuliani is saying that he got her fired, and he's going to explain why in cut three.
I forced her out because she's corrupt. I came back with a document that will show unequivocally that she committed perjury when she said that she turned down the visa for Mr. Shokin because of corruption. It's documentary evidence that she committed perjury. I have four witnesses who will testify that she personally turned down their visas because they were going to come here and give evidence either against Biden or against the Democratic Party.
There you have it.
You know what? When did Giuliani give that interview there?
Last night with Laura Ingraham.
Okay. I got to say, I have not heard him speak for a while.
Yeah.
No. That was refreshing to hear him cogent and reasonable in the old Rudy Giuliani. Because, Ray, he had been portrayed, if you just don't hear him and you hear about it on the internet, he had been portrayed as a guy who's losing his mind.
Look, those are bombshell allegations, which at some point he's got to bring the facts forward, whatever it is that backs it up. But, I mean, that's a bombshell allegation against Joe Biden, and in some ways even greater, though she's not well known, but this former ambassador, he's accusing she was the ambassador, right?
Yes, you're right.
And he's accusing her of what? Of corruption?
Of covering up for the Democrats? Of obstructing?
Blocking his him getting a visa or basically access to the U.S. Because he was going to bring damaging information with him.
Well, now, you got to remember, Rudolph Giuliani, before he was mayor of New York City, was a U.S. district. Was he a U.S. district attorney?
Yes.
He was a U.S. attorney.
Yeah, U.S. attorney, in a high-profile position. He's prosecuted a lot of high-profile cases. This guy knows what he's doing. Now, I give him a lot of credibility, Rudolph Giuliani, in the things he was just talking about. Mm-hmm. He's aged, he's in his 70s, in his mid, 70? How old is Rudolph Giuliani?
I'm not sure, but I know he helped. He was a brilliant mind behind getting President Trump to evade Mueller and that trap.
Yeah.
He
still got it, you know, sounds like me, Ray.
He's 75, and as you said, he sounded very cogent in both of those.
Yeah. We'll see. President Trump has him as his, you know, one of his personal lawyers, right? Mm-hmm. Rudolph Giuliani. So he's still entrusting him with a lot of important work.
I think there's more shoes to drop in this whole.
Wait, there's more?
Not right now. Will be. We're not nearly done with figuring out what has happened here.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker, Ray, and Steve. Next story, Steve.
I want to talk about Michael Flynn, who was part of the Trump campaign.
That would be General.
General, Lieutenant General. Well, yes, Michael Flynn. And he pleaded guilty in a plea deal of lying or making false statements to the FBI. So, as I understand it, when you make a plea deal, you're pleading to something that may be lesser than they're charging you with. Maybe you didn't do anything, but you make this deal so that you can avoid a long trial or the possibility of getting convicted because you've got other things better to do with your life. But he made this deal. Well, now that we have heard all of this, we see the IG report and see that a lot of the information that was coming against Michael Flynn has some questions and big holes in it. Michael Flynn wanted a new trial. Yesterday, a judge ruled that he has given up his constitutional rights because he pleaded guilty. Mm-hmm. It's over. Yeah. He's going to be sentenced and he's going to be put in jail.
Yeah, he'll probably be pardoned by President Trump.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate at this point because, you know, the evidence shows now that we know, the evidence shows that Michael Flynn was wrongly accused and basically framed.
Set up.
Right? He was set up or framed up. For yeah. nothing.
Yeah.
And but when you start signing plea agreements, it does compromise your case to a certain extent.
Yeah, he was guilty of something because he pled guilty to it.
That means that he pleaded guilty.
Yeah. I don't know the thinking behind
his lawyers doing that.
Right.
Making him or saying he should plead guilty.
I've forgotten all the details of that, but it was basically a setup deal where was this Comey again?
This was Comey.
Comey sent over the two FBI agents.
Yeah, Peter
Strzok to talk to General Flynn when he was moving in to the White House.
And they told him he didn't need a lawyer present.
As National Security Advisor, I always thought that was horrible.
Yeah.
The way that was handled, whether he did something wrong or not, the way here again, James Comey, FBI Director, sends over, as I say, they were measuring the curtains at the White House. Michael Flynn's telling the movers where to put the boxes,
mm-hmm.
and General Flynn, he's National Security Advisor for the newly elected president. And here comes two FBI agents over to the White House to talk to him about something. And they begin to inquire, and basically he senses that he's being, investigated. General Flynn does.
Yeah.
And he asked these two FBI agents. Strzok wasn't one of them, was he? Please tell me no.
Yes, Peter Strzok was one of the FBI agents in the White House.
He just, huh?
Yeah.
He's just, he's got a greatest hits collection right there, doesn't he? Peter Strzok, that he's in on all this. His name pops up everywhere. Anyway, the point, so General Flynn senses that he's being investigated or interrogated, and he says, do I need a lawyer? General Flynn does to Strzok and the other fella, and they say, no, you don't need a lawyer.
Right.
I don't know if they said you're not being investigated.
Then
but
they turn around use that interview
to nail him.
To then charge him.
Right. And it appeared to me, it appeared to a lot of people to be, I don't know if you'd call it entrapment. Maybe that's too strong a legal term, but certainly a setup.
They were, again,
out to get him,
yep.
Seemed to me. Yeah. All right. You're listening to today's issues. General Flynn. So General Flynn now will he'll have to wait. He pled guilty, so he doesn't have any rights anymore.
Apparently not. He pleaded guilty, and he will be sentenced January 28th.
I wouldn't be surprised if President Trump doesn't pardon him, especially if he's reelected.
Yeah.
There's no political price to pay for that. That's why presidents do that oftentimes. Bill Clinton, he pardoned that, what was the guy's name, Rich? Mark Rich?
Yeah, Mark Rich.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He was a bad dude. And Clinton pardoned him on the way out the door because he didn't have to, you know.
Answer for it?
He didn't have to answer for it. Presidents do that. Your next story, Steve.
From time to time, I like to bring in some statements from Democrat candidates for president so we can kind of get an idea of where they stand on certain things and what might be the result if one of them were to ever become president. I want to expand the search now and include AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York. She's not running for president. She is running for her seat. And she was at a town hall the other day, and I want you to hear what she says, what she wants to give away for free. Scotty.
But at the very least, a $15 minimum wage, it may be higher as we introduce these things, but it means Medicare for all, or at the very least, you know, guaranteed health care as a right, housing as a right. So we have to really say, for the things that we depend on to live, we need, at a bare minimum, a public option, if not a guaranteed universality in it.
Guaranteed universality of everything needed to live.
That cell phone?
Yeah, probably. A car? Yeah, a job, food, a house?
Well, you know what? If I'm going to tell you this. I know Republicans are acting like, you know, she's whacked out. And some Democrats think she's whacked out right there. She's a rank socialist slash communist. However, if you're a Republican, you don't want her to lose.
Huh? The gift that keeps on giving?
We want her back.
You want her back. So
kinda,
I mean,
like Hillary Clinton.
Huh?
Kind of like Hillary Clinton.
Run, Hillary, run.
Yeah.
Right, please.
I mean, well, Republicans act like, can you believe this is the party of AOC? Listen to what she said today, okay? And what I'm saying is you need somebody like that around. So you have sound bites that you can attribute to Democrats. So if I were a Republican, I would contribute to AOC's reelection campaign. That's just me.
Well, Tim, you are a Republican.
Well, yeah, I'm a conservative first. I do vote Republican most all the time. True.
It is important to note.
But I got Christmas gifts to buy. I guess there's like many reasons, Steve, why I can't give right now to AOC's campaign.
It is important to note that we already have free food, free shelter for those who need it. It's called welfare.
Yeah, that's true.
We have a welfare system in place where you fill out a few forms, show you don't have a job, and then you get food. You get the things necessary to live.
Yeah, this is just what she's talking. Right, Walker, that's a very good point. We already have a safety net, so to speak, in our society for helping people who are in poverty.
Yep.
Right? But somebody has to pay for all this, too, right? So I don't know if she mentions that, how you're supposed to pay for all this.
The last country that tried to make sure that everything that was needed for life was guaranteed and free was Venezuela. Before that, Soviet Union.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work, and it goes against biblical principles, too, if you want to look at what the Scripture has to say about work.
I would suppose that she's very concerned about that.
Now, the Scripture does say we could get into a whole – this is a whole hour-long discussion because, you're going to have people who are more liberal, I guess, on these kinds of issues, you're going to say, yes, but Tim, the Bible says to take care of the poor and the needy, right? That's
negative. And it also says if a man will not work, he shouldn't eat.
Right.
So it can be both. So,
well, right. Taking care of the poor and the needy is the responsibility of the individual, I think, first and foremost.
Right, and churches. Look, churches have led the way for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Orphanages, right, hospitals, clinics, leprosariums, mm-hmm. Rescue missions, and the list just goes on and on.
Yeah. So the reason that it's left to the individual and the churches is because they're the best ones who can determine if somebody's a fraud.
Yes.
Right? The government can't. The government just doles out indiscriminately. You don't. Now, there are some stipulations. You do have to. In fact, President Trump just put some in recently saying, you know,
work requirements.
Some work requirements for welfare money.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. All right. We got 4 minutes left, Steve.
Well, we're going to go from AOC to Adam Schiff, who is also not running for president, but was holding a town hall meeting.
Has he blinked?
Not once. Not once. I think he's having surgery to unglue his eyelids, but that's, you know. And Adam Schiff was holding a campaign meeting or a town hall, when some Trump supporters came up, and one of them had the mic to ask a question and started asking him some pointed questions, and then this broke out. Cut one.
You should be in jail. You are a disgrace to the House of Representatives.
They are yelling. There's a group of them that are yelling he's a traitor because of the impeachment.
Hmm.
They are not happy. Democrats are finding it hard sledding once they get home into their districts.
Yeah, because then they have to actually answer to the people.
Yeah, yeah. As we speak, the House Rules Committee is setting the rules for the impeachment debate that's going to hit the full House here in a couple days.
You know, and I think if in general our politicians spent more time back in their home districts, they would be a little bit more in touch with reality and how the American people feel. But when you look at their calendars, most of these guys spend the vast majority of their year in Washington, D.C., in their inner circles and their echo chambers.
Right.
But when you go back to the home district, that's what you get.
Yeah, and we're seeing it not only with him, but a lot of these. It's happened several times, and a lot of these swing district Democrats, as they're called. And by the way, did you... we have just a second. This is what Kellyanne Conway, cut five. This is what Kellyanne Conway says about moderate Democrats in swing districts.
Can we stop calling them moderate Democrats? I think they've proven that they're not. They are not representing the will of their people. If you're called a representative, if that's your day job, you ought to represent the will of your people. And these folks saying, oh, it's a vote of conscience. I've been struggling. I had to read all the documents all weekend. They would sound more legitimate and more credible if they just said, I need to follow the leadership of my party, which has gone so far to the left, we can't even see the middle from where we are anymore. And frankly, which probably dangles committee assignments and campaign money in front of me for me to make this vote.
Yeah, you're being coerced, as it were.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Ray?
Hey, thank you, Tim.
Thank you for being on today, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate your contributions. And those of Fred Jackson, who was with us earlier, and Brent Creeley, who ran our control board for us today and who's the producer of this here show. We hope you have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday.